This is Cliff Compton, and you're listening to Live from the Armony. No, hold on. It's getting
late. Take two.
This is Cliff Compton, and you can listen. You're listening to Live from the, what is it, Armory? Like an actual armory?
Armory.
Yeah, like an armory, like a building.
Oh, I thought I said something else. All right. Ready? Take six.
Yes.
This is Cliff Compton, and you're listening to Live from the Armory. Now I can't stop laughing. Why don't we do a different one? We'll be original.
How about this one? How about we'll make it easy? This is Cliff Compton. Listen to the damn show.
All right. This is Cliff Compton. Listen to the damn show. It's one of the best wrestling shows out there.
Welcome to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show, the premier podcast of indie wrestling.
Just me rambling on incoherently and Laura talking about Caleb Conley.
Our studio line is area code 213-816-1605 with your host, Bunkhouse Bob.
Don't you start on me, Laura. I mean it. I'm in a bad mood.
And the lovely Laura.
You know what you need to do, Bob?
What?
Need to drink you some Conley Aid, just like I do every morning out of my O Face cup. I guess you're a little confused as to why you hear my voice at the beginning today instead of Bob's. Well, Bob has decided to go on a little pilgrimage to West Newbury, Massachusetts, and we all know who grew up in West Newbury, Massachusetts, right? John Cena. So Bob's up there doing his little thing, trying to get some guests and schmooze for some show perks. So I have got me a co-host this week. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest co-host for this week. You know him. You love him. It's George International Coles. George, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Laura. And ladies and gentlemen, my name is George Coles, and I'm the one behind 13, 16, and 31.
That's right, because George is that damn good. Let me tell y'all, folks. Before we get into the show pertinence and whatnot, I did want to congratulate you. I haven't yet. I had seen where one of your videos, if you guys don't know, George does a show. It's a web show called Heel Heat. It is absolutely awesome. He reviews Raw and SmackDown and TNA and Ring of Honor, and he also does some special things that came from the network. He's done some DVD reviews, but one of your episodes got over 10,000 views, right?
Yeah, surprisingly, you know, because we're just a little show, basically something I make for all my friends and, you know, people around the world that have like-minded views. One of our shows actually cracked 10,000 views, and I was pretty happy about it. It was a top 10. We do little top 10s. I don't know. I'm a guy that likes little silly lists. So it was a top 10. The one that cracked was top 10 responsible for the death of WCW. I noticed the stuff I'm really negative on is the stuff that seems that people jump on and enjoy the most. It's a weird dichotomy. I don't know. We try to be positive with what we put out sometimes. We put out little silly stuff like that, and people like the negativity, I guess. Controversy.
Eric Bischoff can't be wrong, right? I think a lot of people have... especially me, you know, WCW was close to my heart because it came from Crockett. And I was so angry at the end of WCW that it had gone the way it had. And I think maybe that's what, you know, maybe people want to see your take on it.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm a little bit more of an outsider being a northern guy. I did get Crockett on, you know, for some reason, Philadelphia Crockett Promotions ran there even in the early 80s. So we were lucky enough that we had both the WWF at the time and Jim Crockett Promotions on every Saturday, as well as we had ESPN early on. So we had AWA on during the week. We kind of got the best of all the promotions.
Yeah, you sure did. You sure did, because I only, until I got cable, all I got was an hour. Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. I said 1 hour of wrestling every week on Saturdays on Channel 10 out of Roanoke, Virginia. That's it.
I don't know what I do want to get myself. I get more than an hour a day.
Well, exactly, now. Because it's your fingertips. Work. I do want to get.
We're going to get it on the Triple H train here.
I wish I could get in on the Twitter trade. I mean, we'll get to that here in a second. Folks, if you want to find us on the interwebs there, we have a Facebook page, and we'll do that first because usually I have to do that last because Bob can never remember it. It's facebook.com/live.armory.9. I'm going to do my best to tweet out tonight because it's kind of hard to tweet and run the board at the same time. We are at From the Armory, and you can check us out on the web, and it's a long web page address, so you can just go to blogtalkradio.com/live-from-the-armory, and that's another of Bob's concoctions, not mine, and find that out, and just go to our web page, and you'll see pictures of me and Bob with some of the guests that we've had on here, and find out a little bit about us. So I just want to throw that out there. You can live tweet with me. Like I said, I'll do the best I can. I can see that our good friend Jordan Castle has already tweeted, and I just want to say he has tweeted, by God, it's George Coles. So
thank you, Jordan. Thanks for the props, my friend.
Jordan is great. He's going to sit with me and Big Donnie at WrestleCade this year, so we're looking forward to that. Well, our guest this week is Ms. Brittany Wonder. I'm really looking forward to talking to her. I've done a little homework on her. A very interesting indie superstar. I think you guys will be entertained by the questions that we have this week. So I think it's going to be good. We'll talk with her in the 8 o'clock hour. Also, wanted to touch a little bit. I've missed it and could kick myself for missing it. Talk about FanFest in Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend. It's NWA Legends FanFest, it's the proper name. And it was the 10th one, and supposedly it's the last one. And I'm really mad at myself that I did not go because my Dangerous Alliance brethren were there in full effect and looked like they were having a blast. My friend Adrian even got to drive Jim Cornette and Dusty Rhodes around. How cool is that?
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's like awesome. There was a lot of things going on. The Jim Cornette Experience, if you guys go to highspots.tv, you can purchase but you can buy the ability to watch FanFest. The Jim Cornette Experience is worth the price alone. He has Lance Storm on. He had Hurricane Helms. He had Les Thatcher. He had Tommy Young. Tommy Young's hilarious. He reminds me of Bob Newhart. He's just so stoic. All of Dusty's Men, I've not got to watch all of that yet, but that looked really good with Kevin Sullivan, Tully Blanchard, J.J. Dillon, Barry Windham, and Magnum T.A. talking about Dusty's influence on them and how, I guess, it was kind of like, I don't want to say Dusty was the puppet master, but he, you know, he's moving around the chess pieces, let's just say that. The Hall of Heroes, when they inducted Tommy Young in there, I've not watched that either, but the matches were absolutely fantastic. Congratulations to former guest Ethan Case for winning that Battle Royal. Man, I'm telling you, I can't say enough good things about Ethan Case. I mean, he is just awesome. Good friend Jackson James is in there, too. Great matches, some really great matches. Want to talk a little bit about the Tommy Thomas meeting Jim Cornette. I know you saw this, right, George?
Oh, I definitely did. I seen it on his Facebook. Tommy, a great, great manager in his own right. And I know you said it, and a lot of people have it on their mind, this generation's Jim Cornette. It was kind of the face he made in the picture I seen. It was like he didn't know whether to smile, cry, laugh, or just fall to his knees and pray, because it was like he seen a combination of Jesus, God, the Holy Ghost, the most beautiful woman in the world, and you know, King Arthur all standing there in front of him. But to see someone like Tommy, who me and you, we know decently, you know him a little bit better than I do, to see someone like Tommy, who we appreciate as a performer, turn into one of us and become a fan of Jim Cornette is just such a cool experience, even for, you know, people like us to see, because there's people that go up to Tommy like that. And you get to see Tommy with his hero. And 20 years down the road from now, there's going to be a young manager that's doing that with Tommy.
I totally agree with you because, folks, if you're not familiar with the Tommy Thomas, if you've not listened to the three-hour, I would just say conversation we had with him, and then we got him back on a little bit later to talk a little bit more with him. Go Google him because as far as managers go, and I know that Paul Heyman is in the business right now, but I think Tommy's the best in the business right now. He takes bumps. He is out there for his men. He gets heat like nobody's business. Google D. Tommy Thomas and just enjoy is the best thing I can say about it. Did you see the Hardys versus the Young Bucks in New York? Did you see anything about that, George?
I heard rumblings about that they were going to – I forget what promotion they were going to be in, but it was kind of a dream match, the new Hardy Boys versus the original Hardy Boys kind of deal.
Right.
I had heard the rumblings.
I had heard them too, but what I was surprised at, that's about all I heard.
Yeah.
I didn't hear what I thought I would hear, you know?
Right, you didn't hear that it was a great match or anything of that nature. I don't know what the Hardy style and the Young Bucks style as well, they're just 20 years younger. It's not a style that I think you can continue on into the years. By that I mean you could, like now, you could go to a Legends Fan Fest and see Ricky and Robert and the Rock and Roll Express, and they're still doing 90% of their offense. Whereas the Hardy Boys,
yes, they are.
It all depends on their athletic abilities, which as you get older, they deteriorate. I don't care if you're Matt and Jeff Hardy or if you're Michael Jordan. You know, Father Time catches up with us. If you're not a good in-ring psychologist, and this is no knock on Matt and Jeff Hardy, they did a different thing. They were never great ring psychologists. They never told a great story. They just had great spots. And I don't think it would even hold up at this point, to be honest with you. It was, to me, I was more excited to see something like the Young Bucks versus Red Dragon or the Young Bucks versus Bad Influence or the Young Bucks versus Worst Case Scenario, hint, hint, PWX, make it happen.
Yeah, Brian, PW, worst case scenario. I've talked a lot about worst case scenario, but I would put them up against any tag team going today, WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. I just would because I think they're that great, and if you guys haven't seen them, you need to Google them. They're great. And, I mean, it's like a modern-day Midnight Express. It really is. I know I'll probably catch a lot of heat. The Midnight Express is, you know, they're in the pantheon of tag teams, and they need to be. But seriously, Elijah and Ethan are, they're just that damn good. I mean, I'm a little biased about them because I've seen them a lot, and I've seen the work that they do. And it's just good. It's just that good, and it makes me excited for tag team wrestling again, like, you know, back in the day. There's just not a whole lot of excitement about tag team wrestling anymore.
Well, I don't know if you hear that, but I'm picking up a lot of interference. Are you hearing that?
Picking up a lot of what?
Can you hear me?
Well,
yeah, I was hearing a lot of interference. I don't know what that was. I don't know if it was a Blog Talk issue. Maybe they had me crossed with a couple different lines. I heard everything you said just was a little bit weird. You kind of sounded like Bumblebee from Transformers.
Well, that's okay. My friend Joel says I sound like I got banjos in my mouth. So I'll take banjos. Bumblebee any day.
Because
I'm from the country.
I don't get that one. Oh.
What,
okay.
Did I have?
I got it.
Yeah, because I'm so country and so southern. It says, you know, I don't speak banjo. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. anyway.
That's kind of funny. I'm going to have to use that now.
Oh,
thank
God.
Thank you, Joel. I won't use it on you,
I appreciate
it. I got other
people that
are using on.
people
that sound more
I wanted to get,
than you.
Well, you know, I've heard people sound more country than I do, and that's a pretty big stretch, I think, because people ask me, you know, like, where am I from, and I tell them I'm from Virginia. Well, you sound like you're from Tennessee. Or from, you know, Texas or something. I'm like, okay, whatever. Just a little southern, that's all. But speaking of southern, Jordan Castle heard me talk like Bumblebee, too. So thanks, Jordan. It must have been, I didn't hear it in, you know, in my phone. But I guess it's just Blog Talk. Gotta love Blog Talk.
It came over like one of them old toy voice transformers things. I don't know. It just was weird for a minute.
Maybe I can hear it in the playback because that would be pretty cool, me sounding like Bumblebee. I wanted to give a shout out to my good friend Cameron Cade, previous guest, king of the selfies. He sent me that wonderful selfie for my birthday. That I think about every day, anyway. He's possibly going to be in Chester at APW, Chester, South Carolina, on Friday. It just depends. And we'll also talk about the upcoming Trans South Wrestling Show, which is going to be pretty big, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. He'll be there. And just want to give a shout-out to Cameron. Promoters, AIWF, if you're listening, Crazy 8, 2015, he needs to be there again. He was there this past time. He did wonderful. Crowd loved him. Can't beat that. Also want to give a shout-out to my good friend Jackson James. He's also a previous guest. He is selling T-shirts. He needs to sell, I believe it's 25 in 90 days. So I'm going to buy one this weekend. So he's got some great stuff. He's got a Misfits knockoff. He's got a Mortal Kombat knockoff. So, you know, visit him at ProWrestlingTees.com. Just search Jackson James, and that's spelled J-A-X-S-O-N. And buy a T-shirt. You know, support indie wrestling. That's what we're all about. That's what we talk about every week. Get out and support your indie stars. PWX people, you know who Jackson James is. You've seen him. So get out and support him and, you know, do the right thing. You know, he's just trying to make his way in this business, and I think he's going to go far. He's got the look. You know, support him.
Definitely. Pro Wrestling Tees is a quality website as well. I get a lot of merchandise from there, and it's always fastly shipped, and it's always very good quality to it too.
Exactly. You know, I have Tyler Breeze, Jordan Castle. I don't know he exists. Cameron does a better job at that than old Tyler Breeze does.
Hey, don't hate my Florida people now, okay? That's one of my Florida.
I can't help. I just don't like Tyler Breeze. I just don't. Sorry. Maybe if I get to know him a little better. He is pretty. And see, that makes me so conflicted because he reminds me of Dolph. And that, but anyway. Also, there's always enough room. There's always enough room in my heart because, you know, I've got like, I don't know, 6 or 7 people there. So there's always enough room. I forgot, too, that Cameron Cade has T-shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com. So get out there and support your indie guys. Cameron is a great worker. He's got a great T-shirt. So get out there and support him.
It's really a one-stop shop for all of your great indie wrestlers. You got all kinds of cool people on there. I've bought several. Like I said before, and you could get the good New Japan Wrestling shirts there as well. So while you're there, get a Cameron Cade shirt, get a Bullet Club shirt. Have fun.
Heck yeah! I also have bought tons of Cliff Compton stuff, mainly so you can appear on this show. Support people like Cliff, and you can go get a Joey Ryan shirt. You can even get a Mr. Sleaze shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com.
I can tell you Cliff Compton loves his fans. If you order a shirt, you will get a free autographed DVD with it. I ordered a Cliff Compton shirt, and he sent me Death Proof, the best of his OVW hardcore-style matches, autographed by himself. I thought it was quite awesome. For $20, I got a T-shirt and a signed DVD. Can't go wrong with that. You can't buy anywhere else. You can't buy one or the other, one of the three, actually. The autograph would cost you $20, the DVD should cost you $20, and the T-shirt itself should cost you $20. It's just a great deal.
Yeah, Cliff does love his fans. I just have to do things to get him on here, and that's one of the things I have to do, but, you know, I would do it anyway, even if it wasn't.
It's best the things you do for Cliff Compton, between you and Cliff Compton.
I don't know what to say to that, George, because nothing has happened. I've never even met Cliff in the flesh.
The less you say, the statute of limitations will eventually come up. And some of that may be legal one day.
George, what do you think I do? Lord. Oh, my God, no. I don't do anything like that. I'm a good girl, I promise.
Good. Keep denying.
Wow,
that's a thing. Plausible denial is a good thing.
Yeah, because I'm like, you've made me blush right now. Lord have mercy. Let's talk about Harley Race.
That'll bring the blush down, Harley Race.
Yes, it will. our Harley Race, if you don't know, before we get to talking about Harley Race, do you know what Pro Wrestling Tees Twitter handle is, by chance?
I think it's just that. I think it's just Pro Wrestling Tees or something really simple to that effect.
Okay.
I
think I just found it.
Yeah, it's Pro Wrestling Tees with just the letter T apostrophe S.
Okay. I just wanted to tweet that out. Hopefully somebody may follow us and we'll be able to get some T-shirts. So,
free shirts don't hurt nobody.
No, not at all. And you know, we follow back. So if you're not if you're listening to this and you're on Twitter and you're not following us, follow us. I promise you we'll follow back. I know that follows sometimes get to a point to where they're pretty precious and you have to unfollow people to follow people, like my own personal Twitter account. But anyway, We will, I promise. And we're going to put out this great T-shirt that, you know, heck, we might even give away a T-shirt on here if somebody will just, you know, follow us so that we can get the 2,000 followers. Anyway, I digress. Let's talk about Harley Race. I had looked up on, I think this was PW, I don't remember what website I got this off of, but I think it's PW Insider, that's what it was. Harley Race took a bad fall over the weekend, and it had been reported and believed earlier that he had broken his hip. Actually, after being examined, it was determined that the pain that he was in was due to an aggravating cyst on his spine. On Monday, he underwent 3 hours surgery, 3 hours of surgery to remove that cyst. And I have an address, and we'll get it up a little later. If you wanted to send Harley Race a Get Well card, and I'm going to, it's Harley Race, care of St. Joseph Hospital, 300 First Capital, and that's capital with an O, Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63301. And I had heard that even, this is, shows you how tough Harley Race is, because when you hear people like Ric Flair talk about how tough Harley Race was and he just was a badass, he drove from St. Louis to Charlotte in pain like that just so that he could be around for the release of his DVD that High Spots did.
That's something I definitely want to pick up, too, is that DVD. Big Donnie had told me about that. Definitely something I want to add to my collection. Best Harley Race quote I ever heard is, if I hit him with the left, I'm going to walk around to the back of him to see what's holding up. I thought that was just awesome on his part. Harley Race, one of the great... When I think world champion, there's three guys that stick out of my head right away: Harley Race, Nick Bockwinkel, and Ric Flair. I think those three guys carry their versions of the world championships as good or better than anybody else in the history of the sport. To me, no one was better than Harley.
Oh no, he was legit. He was tough. I mean, he had tattoos when you didn't have tattoos.
Well, he was from a time where he took the NWA belt around the country and legitimately had to be able to beat up the toughest person in every territory, because a territory could easily change the script and have someone shoot on him. And if someone tried to shoot on Harley, that was their bad luck because they were getting their skull cracked. But
yeah,
he had to be tough, because he could go to, let's say he goes to Des Moines, Iowa, and the Des Moines, Iowa promoter goes, I'll give you 50 extra bucks if you break his leg and take the title, because as we know, if you break his leg and take the title, they have to say you're the champion, because they can't let you know that it's all staged. So Harley would be able to put up with that.
Yeah, and I did want to say that I am actually speechless right now, not to get away from Harley Race, but we just got a tweet from Matt Hardy, because I had tweeted out that, you know, we were talking about that match, and he tweeted out, definitely a match of the year candidate. People are still chanting, this is awesome.
That's great to hear. I'm happy it went well. I wonder if if Bunkhouse Bob elbowed him in the rib cage to tell him to do so.
Oh, you know, I cannot wait until WrestleCade, because, well, one part I'm not really looking forward to is the two of them schmoozing together, Matt Hardy and Bob. And the other part that I'm really looking forward to is seeing Bob face-to-face with my BFF, Caleb Conley. It's put up or shut up time, Bob. Put up or shut up. I can't wait. Anyway, but we do want to wish Harley Race. Do what, George?
I'm not going to get in the middle of that one. I like both ends. I like Caleb. I like Bob. Fans of both of their
It's all George. He will have been running his mouth for 10 months. Bob will have been running his mouth for 10 months come November. Because I know he's not going to stop running his mouth on Caleb because it's Bob. But, you know, I'm just saying it's going to be epic. And I'm going to be right there with my little video camera. And we're going to have some live footage for Live from the Armory. Just saying. But
that's something I wanted to mention. Did you see that Caleb and Zane put out I don't know if it's a Kickstarter.
It is for the movie. I have not had a chance to actually look at it.
Oh, the breakdown's hilarious. They need a case of Pabst Blue Ribbon for Zane.
It should be interesting, to say the least. Knowing the two of them, people have already told me on Facebook, are you getting that $250 together? I think on Put Over the World they said $250 would get you a date with both of them. So I've already had people
I'm looking at it right now, and that is 100% correct. However, for $500, you can apartment wrestle with Caleb, so there's that, too.
I could do what?
Apartment wrestle with Caleb, with Caleb Conley. And it's open for men or women. Good to know. There's some men
yeah,
okay, to Caleb's
you know.
Pretty as well.
You know, hey, Jordan Castle, if you got $500, there you go. He's going to kill me.
For $750, you can own Blue Tista Bear.
You know, I thank Zane Riley for doing that for me, sending me the CM Punk Bear from the episode where they go back in time. I do appreciate that. He sent me the bear they used because I bought it. First of all, I bought a CM Punk Bear from High Spots. I don't think I could really own Blue Tista Bear because Blue Tista Bear belongs to everybody. You know, I would feel kind of wrong owning Blue Tista Bear.
Maybe it could be like one of those people that buy a painting and then loan it out to the different museums so everybody can see it.
Yeah, it could be like, you know, the tale of the traveling Blue Tista Bear.
like what was his name? Flat Stanley. Did you ever get Flat Stanley from one of your relatives or do it yourself or you send him in the mail and he tells a story about everywhere he goes?
Mm-mm.
The neat little things are good. It's one of those cool little things, like it's something you do in elementary school, and basically it's a guy you draw on a piece of paper, and then he comes back. You're supposed to send it to a relative that lives somewhere else. They tell you a little story about, like, let's say I send it to Pittsburgh. They tell you a story about Pittsburgh, take pictures with Vlad's family all around Pittsburgh, then send it back to you. You send it to somebody else. It's in a different area. Basically, so you know about little different geographic regions. Maybe you could do something like that with Blue Tista Bear or with CM Punk Bear even. I say take CM Punk Bear to Chicago and knock on Mr. Brooks' door and ask him when he's coming back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to get me right in the door right there. Yeah, I got this CM Punk Bear feel. And will you let me in? Yeah. I know Marty and Cliff and Colt. Yeah, that would get me right in, George. Thanks.
You never know. It might work.
You never know. It might work. It might work. We want to congratulate Hudson Envy on winning the AOW title this weekend. Congratulations. I heard it was a hard-fought victory. I saw the pictures. And you can also, if you want to check out any of the names we mentioned, it's like Hudson Envy, Caleb Conley, Ethan Case, the Tommy Thomas, and some that I haven't mentioned, Cedric Alexander, Cliff Compton, Luke Hawks. He was at FanFest this weekend and did wonderful. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/live-from-the-armory. And we've got so many episodes on there that certainly somebody you'll like, you know, you'll find on there. But check it out. Let's talk about some things that are coming up this weekend, George. I know we've got a lot coming up, actually. We're going to talk about Evolve 31, 32, and 33. All events are going to be on WWN.live. It's August 8th in Ybor City, Florida. Thank you for telling me how to pronounce that long ago. Bell time is 9 o'clock. Scheduled to appear, Chris Hero, former WWE talents Drew McIntyre and Evan Bourne. I'm going to get this because this is going to be really good. My BFF, Caleb Conley. Is it Drew? Here's a question for you. That is the reason to get it. Drew, have we talked about this before? Is it Drew Gulak or Gulak?
Here's where it gets interesting. It's Gulak is a name, but a submission hold is a Gulak. That's why people pronounce it both ways.
Okay.
So it's Gulak that does the Gulak.
Gulak does the Gulak. Okay. All right.
Yeah, a dragon sleeper with his legs wrapped around your stomach kind of thing. It's a cool move.
Okay. I'll buy that.
For a dollar?
Yeah, he is. He is actually a damn good wrestler, but and do all this stuff at the same time. Sorry about that. The next night in Orlando, Florida, 9 p.m. bell time, and then wrapping it up on Sunday in Jacksonville, Florida, is a 7 p.m. Bell time. The cards have the same competitors. You know, they're going to be going in all sorts of matches over the three-day run. More information at www.dgusa.tv.
And Dylan, and coming off of that, we also have CWS Mid-Atlantic. They're presenting 10 Things I Hate About You, Saturday, August 9th at the Mid-Atlantic Sportatorium in Gibsonville, North Carolina. Doors open at 7 p.m. Scheduled to appear, Chase Dakota, Chet Sterling, Lance Lee, and the last semifinalist for the Weaver Cup tournament will be decided. You can get more info at www.cwf247.com. Sounds like a great card there as well. Some younger guys. I always like the younger talent because they give such a fresh edge and such a fresh take on wrestling.
Well, yeah, especially, you know, see, hold on here, George. I think we have got someone, and I think I know who this is. 318, you're on Live with the Armory.
Lovely Laura and George, it is Bunkhouse Bob calling you live from Boston, Massachusetts.
I knew it, Bob. I knew it.
How are you, Bob?
I'm doing well.
I just wanted to call in, let our listeners know that I did make it to West Newbury, Massachusetts. I did make it to the neighborhood of John Cena, and I was quickly escorted out of the neighborhood by Massachusetts West Newbury's finest. I was told that I was trespassing. So I was not allowed to peek around in the windows or do anything. So basically Bunkhouse was ran off the property, and I wasn't able to leave my gift.
And what gift was that, Bob? I'm a little afraid to ask.
Well, I was going to leave him the Paul Heyman DVD set, seeing how Brock Lesnar is going to beat him at SummerSlam, which everybody knows it's a given.
Ah, I see. I thought maybe you were going to leave, you know, like a part of you there. So.
And if any of our listeners believe anything that I just told you, then you are a bigger bunch of marks than what I ever thought. Because if you thought that I would go all the way to West Newbury, Massachusetts, to go see the childhood home of John Cena, you're crazy. I'm actually in Boston on business. I'm away from the show this week, but I will let folks know that I did finalize the deal for one of our guests next week that I've been working on for months, and I will text that information to Laura. I'm pretty excited about it. You two guys have a great show. I'm at the Ye Old Oyster House, established in 1826, and I'm having a bowl of chowder.
Bowl of chowder. Well, have your bowl of chowder, and I will talk to you soon, Mr. Bunkhouse.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Go to Wahlburgers. Get you one of them Donnie Wahlberg burgers.
We'll see what we can do. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good show.
See you later,
Bob. Thanks, Bob.
All right.
And
that was cool.
There goes Bob.
You know that? I kind of felt like Sweet Stan Lane there for a second when Dennis Condrey came back into the NWA. You had the replacement member for the Midnights talking to the original member of the Midnights.
Oh, George, don't get me started on Sweet Stan Lane. Lord have mercy.
Hey,
like I told Jim Cornette,
I just watched Paul Heyman.
You
meeting,
can talk.
So I got Midnight Express in my brain.
That's true. That's very true. Now, I was not a big fan of Paulie's Midnight Express.
They are the original.
And I get that. I totally get that. It's just that, you know, I was only 12 years old, and I knew something was going on when I saw Sweet Stan Lane.
Oh, Lord. Do we need to add them to your registry of wrestlers you can't get within 100 feet of?
Probably. I've never met Sweet Stan either. That's like, he's one of the people that is on my bucket list to meet. I crossed one off when I met Jim Cornette, and crossed two more off when I met the Rock and Roll Express. But he's on there. So anyway, let's get back indie happenings, because in about 15 minutes, Brittany's actually going to call us, so we got to be ready for her. TSW presents The Brawl at Broad River Electric at the Broad River Electric Auditorium in Gaffney, South Carolina, this Saturday, August 9th, 8 p.m. bell time, $10 for adults, $5 for students. Main event looks like it's going to be, I think there's like a double main event. It's going to be The Stro versus Ricky Morton. Davey Richards is going to be facing Chase Brown. If I could get my tail to South Carolina this weekend, that's where I would go. That's going to be an awesome match. Everybody, you know, if you're an indie fan, you know who Davey Richards is. If you're not familiar with Chase Brown, go Google him. He is, as we say in PWX, ride him, Chase, ride him. Just so incredibly funny. Sorry, I get distracted by Twitter. I'd get distracted easily. Tessa Blanchard is going to take on Chastity Taylor. Tessa was at FanFest this weekend, too. I've hung out with Tessa a little bit. She's absolutely wonderful, and she is going places. I wouldn't be surprised if I saw her in WWE in maybe 3 years. Wouldn't be surprised at all. She's got
that
it. And if you ask me, do what?
That would mean she'd have to come through NXT, right? Because we can live with that.
We could live with that, especially with you down in Florida getting all that good NXT stuff. She's going to wrestle Chastity Taylor. Chastity is really good, too. I saw them at PWX. These women can go. Cameron Cade is also going to be there, my good friend. The Tommy Thomas, who got so much heat last time, it was like, these people, the best way I can sum it up is it was still real to them, damn it. I mean, they were after Tommy's head. I saw the pictures. It was bad. George South is going to be there. So you can get tickets at eventbrite.com. So go and check them out. Also, NWA Smoky Mountain at the National Guard Armory in Rogersville, Tennessee, this Saturday, August 9th. It's 8 p.m. bell time, and because of the past issues in Rogersville, which I'm not sure what that means, but it has been announced that there will be free general admission to this show. So, hey, free general admission, you can't beat that. Scheduled to appear, Lance Erickson, Chris Richards, Cody Blade, Nick Hammonds, the Tate Twins, say that three times fast, and more. More information at www.nwasmokymountain.com. That's Smoky without an E.
And last but not least, Ring of Honor Summer Heat 4 2014, this Saturday, August 9th, at the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania National Guard Armory at a 7:30 bell time. We get former guest of the show and friend of the show and friend of Laura sometimes, depending what T-shirt she's wearing, Cedric Alexander versus Michael Elgin. Also on the card will be the Briscoe Brothers, War Machine, the Young Bucks, Brian Kendrick, Jay Lethal, and many more, all the stars of Ring of Honor. For more info, go to www.rohwrestling.com. Another stack card from Ring of Honor. Cedric versus Michael Elgin's worth the price of admission itself. You got the two guys that I think Ring of Honor is putting all of the weight of the company on is these two, and they're definitely both the future of the company, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. There have been some rattling on Facebook about whether or not, you know, Michael Elgin or, you know, and Cedric as well, if they're really ready to step up to the plate and carry this company. Michael Elgin's been with the company for how long? When I first started watching Ring of Honor, he was with Cruz Martini and Michael Bennett, right?
If you have any questions about either of those two guys, you're not watching any of their matches. That's plain and simple.
Exactly.
Michael Elgin and Cedric Alexander are two of the best wrestlers in the world. Not just Ring of Honor, not in, you know, the indies, in the whole world. I would put either of these two guys up against anybody, and you got a must-watch match. And I think the two different styles is going to clash so well, and it's going to be such a great match. It's a shame that I can't be there to see it live. It's a shame that it's not on internet pay-per-view, but it's definitely going to be something I pick up on DVD.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, me too. And don't want to seem like I'm plugging everybody, but you can go to highspots.com and get Cedric Alexander's DVD. And right there, it will show you, you know. I get a lot of shit from Cedric because of Caleb, and I've told Cedric that it was never anything against who he is as a person or his in-ring abilities, because he is actually a really great person. He's funny. He ribs the hell out of me wearing Caleb Conley T-shirts and works like a champ in the ring. And I put it on my Facebook page, mark my words, year and a half, 2 years tops, you'll see Cedric Alexander in NXT. And then the sky's the limit from there, I believe. I believe they could put, you know, with time progresses, I think Cedric could be running the place. But that's just
me. You know, I'm going to say it right now. I'll make a bold prediction. Cedric Alexander is going to be the first 100% black WWE world champion.
You heard it here, folks.
Just since the way it goes. He is that good. He is that talented. And I first seen Cedric Alexander 3 years ago on an indie show with a team with Caprice Coleman, who's a great wrestler, great talent in his own right, who was bringing Cedric Alexander out and helping him early on in his career. From that time till now, he has improved at a faster rate than any wrestler I've ever seen. He's improved faster than Bryan Danielson. He's improved faster than CM Punk. He's improved faster than AJ Styles. How quickly Cedric Alexander has went from a guy that opened the show to a main event wrestler and one of the best wrestlers in the world tells me that it's only a matter of time before he conquers everything he wants to do in wrestling. And that's just the way, if I see a woman, if you're not seeing that when you watch Cedric Alexander, I don't know what you're watching.
I totally agree. I have seen him live. I've seen him live at PWX. I saw him live at Firestar Pro. I had seen him on Ring of Honor. Well, you know, when I first started watching Ring of Honor, he'd just come in with Caprice. And I thought he was absolutely wonderful. And if you guys, I think there's a WrestleCade 2013 DVD floating out there somewhere. Buy it for nothing but the match between Cedric and Caprice in the Bravados. Best match on the whole card. Whole card. They tore that place up. High flying around everywhere. Just a solid good match.
Even if you look at the Best in the World pay-per-view. I defy you to tell me that Cedric Alexander versus Roderick Strong wasn't the best match that night.
Oh, I totally totally agree. Totally agree with that because it just was.
And like I said, I think that the sky is the absolute limit. Cedric Alexander will get everything that he wants and more in professional wrestling.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And I know it's funny because I usually talk about Caleb, and I'm talking about Cedric, and I'm not, you know, turning on anybody. I'm just telling the truth that, you know, Cedric is one of the people that I believe that the future of wrestling can be placed in their hands, and it will be okay. You know, it's in good hands.
Definitely. And this is no knock. By saying how good Cedric Alexander is, it's no knock on anybody else. You know,
right, and it's not Compton at all. It's
fantastic talent as well. Whether
and,
Bob
you
wants
know,
it or not.
Caleb has it. You know, when I was sitting with Big Donnie at WrestleCade, he told me when I first saw that kid, I knew he had it.
And, you know, Caleb's got the Shawn Michaels factor. He's cool enough that the guy people
know.
Like him. And he's got the pretty boyness that the women will like him.
He sure does.
You know, oh, God, I got you going, didn't I? But I don't look, when I see Caleb, you know, I don't think like, I'm a secure man. He's a good-looking man. And he's going to sell a lot of posters and T-shirts. And there's going to be a lot of 15, 16-year-old girls in crowds just to see Caleb come. And he's going to do great with it, just like Shawn Michaels did. And he's going to be, you know, one of those guys that takes that and proves that he's more than just a pretty face. And he's got the it factor, too. There's no doubt about it, whether Bob admits it or not. Bob knows.
I'm telling you,
Bob,
people,
like
this all stems. The reason why Bob doesn't like Caleb Conley is because of this fact, and I don't care what he says. This is what it is. It's the fact that Caleb beat his boy, Adam Cole, for the PWX title. It's plain and simple.
You know, if I were to go by that, I'd hate every wrestler in wrestling.
Well, yeah, but I really do think that's what it is. It has to be the simple fact that he beat his boy Adam Cole. And I just don't like Adam Cole. I just don't. It's not even the fact that Caleb beat him. I just never have really liked Adam Cole in Ring of Honor. I was really waiting for him to turn heel, because as a face, he was just not, it just wasn't working.
Adam Cole's a good talent. I'm not going to say nothing bad about the guy. I think he's good. Is he one of my favorites? No. Did I think he, I thought when he won the Ring of Honor world title that it really should have been Elgin's title at that point. I thought Elgin was more ready for it and more fit the mold. Now, did he do a good job with the belt? I thought he did a great job with it. He embraced his illness.
Yeah.
He embraced, you know, he embraced the cheap heat that you need at points you need to in your career. And I thought he did a great job when he ran with it.
Yeah, and the Cole was great.
That was amazing. The whole Mount Rushmore with him, Steen, and the Young Bucks and Pro Wrestling Gorilla, that's some of the best thing that I've seen in wrestling over the last 5 years. Just four guys out there having fun.
And tearing it up.
Exactly.
For lack of a better term. I did want to give a shout-out to my good friend Ryan Martell. He also has a podcast called Martell's Corner. But he tapes his and records his, I should say. No, I want to date myself. He usually does it on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, and it airs Wednesdays. So I want to give him a shout-out. You guys go on over to Ryan Martell on Facebook. You can just type in Ryan Martell. It's M-A-R-T-E-L. And he is also on Twitter at Babyface Bruiser, I believe. Let me make sure of that. But he's a personality in, is at Babyface Bruiser. He is a personality in XWW, which is Extreme World Wrestling. If you guys have not checked that out, go Google it. It's got some great stuff. Stro from WCW days, he's in that. Sephiroth, he is their champion and is crazy. Their newly crowned hardcore champion, good friend of mine and yours, Terry F. in Houston's there, Justin Fireball, Zane Riley, the Justice League, just tons of Jason Cross, just some great people doing some great work that I believe is not getting the appreciation and exposure that it well deserves. So check out Ryan Martell in XWW on the internet. You will not be disappointed in the least. And I'm just trying to whoop. Let me see. I know this is. Let me see who this is, George.
Well, maybe Brittany. It's about her time, isn't it?
Yes,
209. You're live. Well, hello, Brittany.
Hi. How are you guys?
Doing just fine. So glad to hear from you. I'm Laura, and on the line is my guest co-host, George Coles. Say hello to Brittany, George.
Hi, Brittany. Great to hear from you. Great to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is ours, and thank you for your time tonight. I know that it is most valuable, and you have a little bit of a time difference than what we have, so thank you very much for calling in. Appreciate it. Want to ask you first of all, you know, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. I had a quick production meeting for Ace earlier today, and then I get to talk to you guys and probably go home and barbecue. So it's been a pretty awesome day.
Yum. I'm all in for that barbecue. How about you, George?
Sounds good to me. You know, I'm a big guy. I'm always up for a barbecue.
Our kind of people. You know, Brittany, for people who don't know, how long have you been in the business and who trained you?
I've actually been involved in professional wrestling for about 10 years now. I started when I was 15. I started training. I had to move away. I ended up running away from home with, like, a backpack and a paycheck to be a pro wrestler. And I went back to my old training school. And my first trainer, the Big Ugly, wasn't the trainer anymore. It ended up being Dante. He's C.J. Bates now. And him and Timothy Thatcher both trained me. And then I've also trained under Oliver John for a stint, Michael Modest, and a couple other people. And then
awesome.
I've been wrestling, though, professionally for 3 years now, or almost 3 years now.
Oh, okay. So you just trained for a while and then got into it?
Yeah, I trained for a while, and I helped out with shows. I was the DJ for, like, the longest time ever. Like, I remember using, like, a super janky CD player and, like, laying my music out, like, with a bunch of burned CDs when they first come out. Like, so, I did DJing and, you know, cleaning up and stitching the boys up and all, chained, and then I had to quit for a stint, like, a couple of years. And then when I was 21 years old is when I, like, moved back to Sacramento with, like, a paycheck and started going to wrestling school again.
Paying your dues, huh?
Yeah, but, hey, look where I'm at now.
Exactly. Well, when did you know that you wanted to be a pro wrestler?
I've always wanted to be a professional wrestler, like, since I was a little kid. I'm the only girl. I have quite a few brothers. I remember, like, Sundays we would sit in front of the TV and we would get, like, 15-cent McDonald's cheeseburgers because they were that price on Sundays, and we would, like, get a bunch of them, and we would all hang out, and we would sit and just watch wrestling together, and that was, like, the nightly activity. Like, I never missed Raw. I never missed SmackDown. Like, I watched WCW. Like, I used to watch even Lucha Libre on the weekends as a kid. Like, I fell in love with it. I just fell in love with everything about it.
That's
that is
great,
an awesome story.
And that kind of leads me into another one of your loves. It's obvious to anybody that pays a little bit of attention that you're a comic book fan. Who is your absolute favorite character and why?
You guys see, I do wear my Deadpool costume a lot. Deadpool is actually one of by far my favorite comic book characters, just because he's not quite a good guy, not quite a bad guy. He's just unpredictable, super outlandish, and super fun, but he's also, like, really deadly and very, very tough, kind of hard to kill, obviously. And I kind of feel like that's kind of me, like, wrestling-wise, so I kind of really touch, like, with him. And then I'm also a really big fan of Rogue, and I also really, really like Gambit. I don't know, there's quite a few different characters that I really like.
Definitely cool. I love Deadpool myself, and that's awesome. Which leads me into my second question. It's something I had read on your Facebook. I want to know, how hard is it to get access to the pumpkin bombs that you say you steal from Green Goblin?
He's not very good at locking them up, believe it or not. So sometimes you just sneak up there, and you got to be really, really, really quiet because he's a light sleeper. But if you're sneaky enough, and remember to bring hairspray, because you have to get through the lasers. Don't forget about the lasers this time. Easy to attain the pumpkin bombs. You just have to have the skill. Because chicks dig skills.
That's definitely cool.
I absolutely love that. And, by the way, Rogue is, like, one of my favorite X-Men as well, period. You've had some great matches, including a match with a previous guest we had, Jesse Bell Smothers. Who's your favorite opponent to face?
I want to wrestle Jesse in, like, an actual match. That would be really nice. Like, her ankle was so bum, and it wasn't really quite,
right,
you know, playing wrestling. So yeah, I would really, really like to actually wrestle her at a show in front of people, like, one-on-one. I think that would be a freaking blast. I have so many people I love to wrestle, like, all of my boys at Hood Slam, like, I get to wrestle them all the time, and every time, like, the Suburban Commandos are two of my favorite opponents, the Riv is one of my favorites. We have, like, beautiful chaos together. He was my senior student, so, like, now that we finally get to wrestle each other at shows, like, it's always something special. Jesus Cruz brought me into this business, like, brought me back to this business, so he's always fun to wrestle. Sheik Khan, and as far as females go, like, I really like wrestling Nicole Savoy. She's a blast to wrestle all the time. She likes to hit as hard as I do, so it's always fun to have a chick that'll blast you back. I really liked, I wrestled Hudson Envy once. That was a really fun one. I've wrestled quite a few girls. I want to wrestle Mariah Moreno. I haven't gotten to wrestle her. I'm blanking on quite a few people, but I've had some pretty good ones. I got to wrestle Candice LeRae recently in a mixed tag match, and that was a blast because I'd never been in the ring with her, and plenty of people told me that we should either tag or we should get to wrestle each other, like, one-on-one. So it was really, really nice to finally, you know, step in the ring with her.
Well, that is absolutely awesome. I was going to ask you a question a little later, but, heck, I'll just go ahead and ask you a question about that. What are your thoughts on, Candice and Joey winning the PWG tag titles here recently?
Oh, it was really awesome because, like, I wrestled them, like, I think the night before. So it was really, really cool to, like, yeah, to wrestle them and them to turn around and win the belts. Like, it couldn't have happened to two nicer people. I heard the match was brutal. I haven't seen it yet. I've just seen pictures. But, yeah, congratulations to the PWG Tag Champions because, yeah, from what I heard, they tore, like, everything down. Like, the building, the foundation, like... like the center of the earth, like, yeah, so it's super awesome. And the fact that there's a female tag champion at such a major company too is really phenomenal. Like, it's kind of cool to see the winds of change, like, pro wrestling wise.
I think you're exactly right. It is good to see, I think it's good to see Candice as a strong woman in that position, not like, oh, you know, she's kind of like the weak link of the team because she's a woman, but she's, you know, she actually got color. Joey didn't, you know.
Yeah, no, she puts in just as much as, you know, he does, if not more, and it's phenomenal. It's definitely a 50-50 tag team, like.
Let me ask you this, kind of skipping around a little bit. We were talking about, No, you're fine. I did that. What gave you the idea to incorporate cosplay into your wrestling?
In all honesty, I've never really thought of it as cosplay until people have, like, brought it to me, like, since I've started getting out there a little bit more, and more people than just NorCal have seen me. Like, we were actually, the whole way we came up with my characters, it was me and LaRiv, and we were sitting watching TV, just hanging out, and we were watching the Powerpuff Girls. And he's like, you know what, you should be like, and then at training, my big downfall was, like, I didn't know who I was as a wrestler. Like, I didn't know who my character should be. And, like, all of my trainers were kind of like, well, you're the female wrestler. Just be a female wrestler. And I'm like, but what am I going to do? Yeah, come on. You know what I mean? Like, what is a female wrestler? Like, it's no different than a male. A male has a character. So why am I just a female generic wrestler? So, yeah, we were watching cartoons, and we were watching Powerpuff Girls, and Riv looks at me, and he's like, why don't you just be Buttercup from the Powerpuff Girls? And I was like, that's a great idea. And it just kind of stemmed from there. Like, it started out as, like, I had my own onesie. It was, like, a red and black one. I kind of had to retire it because it's just destroyed. It doesn't fit me anymore. Like, I was on, like, a staple gun match with it. Like, it's destroyed, sadly, so it's on the shelf. And then my gear bag actually ended up getting stolen. And in Oakland, like, somebody broke into my friend's car, and they stole me and my friend Jesus' wrestling bags. And so it was like, to them it's nothing, but to us it was our world, you know what I mean? And I had a match in, like, two weeks. And I had a match in, like, 2 weeks, and I was panicking because I didn't have anything. I didn't have any money to buy new gear in 2 weeks, you know. And I needed something fast. So a couple people were like, dude, just, you know, do a Kickstarter. And I was like, dude, nobody's going to give me, you know, somebody they don't know money to replace. So, you know, nobody knows me. Nobody cares. So I actually started a Kickstarter. And, like, by the time I had gone to bed at, like, midnight, I had, like, $200. And it was, like, the most amazing thing ever. And then, sorry.
That is awesome.
But the next morning I woke up and I had like $400.
That'll buy you a whole lot of gear.
Yeah, it was the most amazing thing ever that many people that had no clue who I was donated that much money to me to replace my gear. So that was actually how I got started with buying the cosplay stuff. I ended up getting a Miss Marvel costume, and it fit me perfectly, and that's how I ended up doing the high neck and the cut-off shoulder style, because it happened to look really good, and so that was the style I kind of adapted. Hence the Deadpool gear. I ended up being able to order the Deadpool gear in the same order, and then I custom-tailored it myself, so it fits, like, my style. The thigh-highs, the onesie cut with the high neck and the cut-off shoulders. So that was kind of how I started getting into the cosplay. I kind of character-wise was like, well, if I'm supposed to be a little kid that thinks I'm a superhero, then I can totally just start wearing my favorite superhero costumes and start acting like them and start emulating them and things like that. And it just happened to hook on. And then with Prince Devitt doing what he was doing too, it kind of like got it out there a little bit, because everybody would be like, look at this. And then people would be like, oh, I know a chick that does a gimmick kind of like that. So it's kind of cool. It kind of took off in ways I didn't really expect. Kind of like that story.
That's just awesome. And speaking of Deadpool, when you mentioned him being one of your favorites earlier, did you get a chance to play the Deadpool video game?
Oh, yeah, dude. I beat that game to death. I'm actually playing through again, and I'm, like, just upgrading everything because I have so much money and I'm so powerful. I just destroy it all. But the game is so good that I like to play through it. And it's cool because, like, when I'm doing it, I think of quips to say when I'm wrestling and things to yell and stuff like that, because I kind of study it almost like tape. Like, I actually have to study the superheroes, like, more in depth, so when I wrestle them, it's not like, oh, here's a cute girl in Deadpool costume like everybody else.
I think it's actually one of the best representations of a comic book going into a different format of anything, movie, television. I think the Deadpool game nailed his character better than anything I've ever seen with a comic book person going anywhere else.
I totally agree.
And have you seen the teaser trailer floating around?
Yes, I did. It was actually one of the I tweeted it immediately, like as soon as I like had a chance to, like. I watched it. I thought it was awesome. And then, like, a couple days later, the HD one came out. And I got to see, like, the little picture of, you know, the little stick figure of Deadpool cutting off the little motorcycle guy's head that he showed him before he cut off his head. Like, that was pretty awesome. The first one I saw was really blurry and super bootleg, because I had just gotten home from a show at, like, 4 in the morning, and they had already ripped off as many copies from the Internet as they possibly could.
Yeah, they were killing that quickly, even though I think they put it out so they could kill it, you know, trying to get that underground buzz.
Get the attention on it, yeah, definitely.
Now switching gears just a bit, one of the promotions I see your name attached with the most and see matches from, most of your matches that I've seen have been from, is Hood Slam. Can you tell our listeners what separates that promotion from others on the West Coast for people that may not be familiar with it?
Hood Slam is, we call it the accidental phenomenon. And the reason we call it that is it started out as a party. It started out as a party in a tiny warehouse in the middle of Oakland off of 20, like, yeah. And then it was a free show, and it was like, let's go, and just, it was a place for the boys to just relax and just to be themselves and to have fun and to just wrestle because we love to wrestle. Not for a car, not for a promoter, not for money, not for anything. To wrestle because they want to wrestle. And we would get drunk and we would just party. And fans actually started to come. Like, the first one had like 30 fans. And then the second one only had like 10. And then the third one was kind of where people started to hook on. They were like, hey, this is a party out in Oakland. Like, you know, we should go. So, like, more people started coming, and that was the first one I went to, was Hood Slam number 3. And it started just getting, and that was when we did the Capcom invasions. We actually had Ryu, Bulldog, and Sagat invade Hood Slam. And that was kind of what started people getting. Yeah, and then they invaded it, and we had, like, the DEA do an angle, and we had, like, zombies, and we had, like, we have a metal band. We have all sorts of crazy things, and we ended up getting too big for the warehouse. Like, by, like, the end of, like, I think either year one, I think it was year one, we had outgrown the warehouse. And there was, like, we ended up getting picked up by the Oakland Metro, which is a huge venue here in California. It's, like, a big concert venue. Like, big-name bands go through there all the time. And I actually have plenty of bills with Hood Slam's name on it, with, like, the Misfits and the Casualties and, like, the Insane Clown Posse and all these, like, big-name bands. And then you see a big, like, advertisement for Hood Slam right next to them, which is always really, really cool. But so we got there, and then we started just drawing more and more, and we started, like, actually integrating wrestling, because before we were just playing, and then we were like, all right, well, let's just show these guys we can wrestle. So, like, our fans went from, like, party monsters, basically, to wrestling fans. And they're not really wrestling fans. They're Hood Slammers, because Hood Slam is the only thing that fills that appetite, because it's just such a big mixture of entertainment and nostalgia and just athleticism and amazing wrestling, and it's hard-hitting and it's high-flying. And so it's, like, everything you get from all the other wrestling promotions wrapped up into one neat little package with all of the added fun to it. We have four bars. It's adult only. We have a metal band. We have live commentary. We have AJ Kirsch from WWE's Tough Enough as our commentator, Joseph Joe Brody. Like, we have, which he's phenomenal on the mic, we have a metal band do all of our entrance music. Like, I got to wrestle with the Joker a couple shows ago because we did a Saturday morning Hood Slam, all dressed up as our favorite Saturday morning cartoon characters. Like, it's amazing. The thing that makes Hood Slam unique, I think, is the fact that all of us are pushing to make it better, and all of us are pushing our product, and we know it's amazing, and we all believe in it, and we all get out as much as we put in. And we're kind of like, it's kind of comprised of all the companies that nobody, or all the people from other companies that nobody wanted. You were too tall, you were too skinny, you were too fat, you were too short. You know, nobody likes you, you're not over, we're going to push you as a heel, even though you should be a good guy. Like, all the people that were kind of mistreated and shuffled around on the card and nobody wanted kind of got picked up by Hood Slam, and we just got a chance to shine. And, like, that's really, I think, one of the reasons I'm anywhere near as good as I am, is I had a chance to shine there. And I got to wrestle people that I would never have the opportunity to wrestle, and that's kind of the story of Hood Slam, is there's a chance you can wrestle anybody. So,
and you know, telling that story and the way you explain it, it's so much, and it's such a revolutionary concept and such a different thing that you're doing out there. It kind of, not the same exact way, but in a way it reminds me of ECW and how a bunch of Misfits came and just shot the world. And this is kind of a similar thing out there with the Hood Slam stuff you're doing. It's so different than anything else that it's sending a shockwave back through wrestling. And it's starting to come where I'm seeing it here in Florida. I'm in Florida where I'm at.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's crazy because, yeah, it's crazy because we're actually, this isn't the first time we've been compared to ECW. Like, we've actually had plenty of, like, names come through the locker room that have worked for ECW, and they're like, this is the same vibe that I used to get, like, in Philly. Like, it was really cool. Like, sometimes we did a video game show, and so everybody was a video game character. I was even Toad from Super Mario Brothers. And Mustafa Saeed was one of the characters from Grand Theft Auto. He came out, jacked the paperboy from NES for his bicycle, rode it to the ring, and then proceeded to beat up everybody in the ring. That's what makes Hood Slam different from other companies.
I've ever heard.
And he was so happy to do it.
That right there has to be one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, it's on iPay-per-view, too. You can see it live, I'm just saying.
I've met Mustafa in my lifetime. Originally, I'm from Philadelphia, and the time that I lived in Philadelphia was when ECW was actually ECW and there and at the height of its popularity. And
yeah.
Knowing Mustafa from the times I've met him, he's a quiet, unassuming guy, you know, definitely let New Jack do most of his talking.
Mm-hmm.
To know that he would get into a character from Grand Theft Auto, that's just hilarious to me. That That might be the funniest thing I've heard all month.
Oh, it was pretty. I love Mustafa. Mustafa is like he's one of those vets that just gives and gives and gives and gives and gives and gives to the new kids. Like he's a phenomenal person. And any younger wrestlers that ever get to work with Mustafa, dude, just shut the fuck up and listen. That's all I can tell you. He likes to talk, and he will talk your ear off, but just absorb every single thing that man tells you. Everything.
Brittany, I've got a call here. Would you like to take a call?
Of course.
Okay, let me see here. Let's see here. Seven two seven. You're on live from the Armory with Brittany Wonder. Ooh, dropped right off. So, oops, must not want to talk. Sorry about that. And 727, if you want to call back in just to listen, because I thought you were wanting to be in the queue, that's no problem. You know, don't worry, you can call back. You know, we were talking about how.
Hello?
I'm still here. I think we lost Laura there for a moment.
I think so, too. Laura, come back.
Laura doesn't want to talk to me.
I doubt that. Trust me, we've both been very excited to have you on. I'm a huge proponent of women's wrestling. I don't think that it should be any different from men's wrestling. I think
you
can get the same entertainment value. And you know, I've been extremely excited. I'm not the normal host. Like she said, I'm a co-host here. I've co-hosted a couple times, and this is the first time they've actually let me on with a female wrestler, which makes me extremely happy because I love women's wrestling. I hate divas wrestling. But
I wish they could high-five you through the phone lines.
It's to me, I don't get it. It does not make sense. You have beautiful women out there that can actually wrestle, and then you got these models that can't wrestle.
Yeah.
And telling me you would rather have these models that can't wrestle put on these five-minute crap fests than have a woman that could actually carry your show and main event your show? I mean, to me, it boggles my mind, but I'm not Vince McMahon. I'm not a millionaire that should be a billionaire. So I don't get
You're
it.
Just George International Coles.
There we go. We got Laura back.
Yeah, gotta love Blog Talk Radio. Sorry about that, folks. It just plain old dropped me. I didn't know what in the world was going on. And I do apologize for that, Brittany, in the middle of my asking a question. And I didn't hear a thing of what you guys were talking about. So I don't want to interrupt or anything. It sounds like you were talking about divas.
Yeah.
Well, we were just talking about the love for women's wrestling and the hatred of divas wrestling.
Which is kind of... Right, and so kind of a lead-up question, a lead-up to what I was going to ask, and you know, you were talking earlier about wrestling men, and you've talked about it, and George and I have seen, you know, on the internet that you have no problem, you know, mixing it up with male wrestlers. Do you ever get any, you know, pushback or flack from guys who don't want to lose to you or don't want to sell for you?
I've occasionally had guys that don't want to sell for me, and then I punch them really hard, and then they sell for me. I'm serious.
Works every time.
Yeah, definitely. And if not, I will headbutt you if I have to. Like, I don't know. Wrestling is an art. It's not a machismo contest. Like, it's not proving your balls are bigger than mine. It's like, I don't know. I can understand if I wanted to, like, beat you with, like, the razor's edge or something like that. I could understand, like, I'm not taking that shit. But, like, other than that, it's like, if it's a sound match and it makes sense, it's, don't be a dick. I've had one person actually tell me that they weren't gonna, taking the finish for me would make them look weak. And my friend, one of those other wrestlers, was like, dude, you have absolutely no right to say that. Like, shut the fuck up and take the finish, or I'm just going to beat your ass. Like, it was pretty funny. And then the guy ended up, like, not turning his face when he ran into my butt for the kapow and, like, almost breaking his nose. So it kind of ended up being, like, it said so, because he was a really sweet guy. He's, like, a really nice guy, but, like, that quip just really annoyed me, and that was his fault. I didn't do it. So that was his bad. But, yeah, so it happens every once in a while, but, like, up here in NorCal and, like, even in SoCal, and, like, I feel like I kind of have a good amount of respect as a worker, like, not just as a female wrestler, like, or a wrestler of the female variety. Like, I feel like just as a professional wrestler in general, I have enough street cred where most people don't generally try that.
Very cool. Very awesome. That's something I would worry about, too. I mean, I guess I have a little sister, and I look at it like that. If my sister was a wrestler,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd want her to be treated well if she was in. And we're seeing more of it. I think Candace and Joey are blazing the trail for mixed tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing more women actually get in the ring with men and be taken seriously, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think, to me, there's no difference. If you're a talented woman or you're a talented man, I want to see talent. I don't care what you are. You know, I want someone that's going to make me put my $20 down to sit in the front row, pay for the
mm-hmm.
T-shirt, pay for the eye pay-per-view, you know, because I want to see something that excites me.
Every time I go to the ring, like, I always think in my head, I'm like, I want my match to be worth that admission fee that they paid. Like, I know they got the entire show and they got every other match, but I definitely kind of want, I'm always in the mindset, like, I want to go in and I'm going to give these people their money's worth, no matter what.
That's just awesome to think that way. Now, I did want to know, who are some of your biggest influences on the way you wrestle? Because you have kind of a style that's all your own. And it's kind of hard to see that. Where another wrestler, you can see who they mimic or took in their style from.
I kind of made my style up. Like, it's just a mixture of things that I like, things that I find entertaining, things that I look cool, things that I saw, but I didn't quite like the way that it was done, so I put my own twist on it. My trainer kind of told me, like, when I was going to wrestling school, CJ Curse, he was like, you can kind of be whatever you want. Like, you can be a high flyer if you want to. You have the right size. He's like, if you want to be, a power wrestler, you can. He's like, if you want to be a brawler, you know, you got to work on your heat, but you can be a brawler. Like, he kind of was like, whatever you want to do, do it. Like, if it's good for you, it's good for you. And if it makes sense, it makes sense. Like, I don't know, I kind of never had that restriction of you're a girl, you have to wrestle like this. So as soon as I got, like, the running butt in the corner from him is, like, kind of one of my signature moves from then on. I just kind of started inventing moves. I started inventing moves. I actually had one time I got to work a show, and Goldust was there. And I actually got to meet Goldust, and he was, like, one of the nicest, sweetest, coolest guys I had ever met, and he liked my Pikachu hoodie. He told me Charmander's better, which I agree, but he liked my Pikachu hoodie. And that was how we first started talking, minus me very nervously introducing myself, you know, like, because I've been watching your muscles since I was a little kid. It was a phenomenal moment for me. So, but he watched my match, and he realized that I started, you know, I do a lot of butt moves, and, like, he was like, you know, you understand what I'm telling you when I'm talking about your match to you. He goes, so if you want, he goes, I can pull you to the side and talk to you a little bit more about it, go a little bit more in depth. And I was like, well, yes, please, obviously. And so he broke down a little bit more stuff for me, like about the timing, just little things from the match. And then he asked me, you know, how long I've been working. And I told him, and, like, at that point, I had only been wrestling for, like, a year and, like, a month or something like that. And he actually was, like, kind of impressed, which was super cool and, like, flattering. But he was, like, telling me he liked my kapow, and he was like, well, you know, where'd it come from? And I was like, well, I kind of made it up. And he was like, that's pretty awesome. He was like, as long as you're safe, keep doing that. And kind of just rolled on from there.
Very, very cool. And
this one's kind of going back, and we're going back and forth between the wrestling and the comic book world, because myself and Laura, we're both also fans of both wrestling and comics, so we kind of mixed it all together into one hodgepodge.
Nerds.
If you could wrestle any supervillain, who would you like to wrestle? Would it be the Green Goblin?
It depends on if I want to win, like, because if I could wrestle any villain that I wanted to, like, I'd probably wrestle Harley Quinn, and it probably wouldn't end up in a match. It would probably end up in a double countout, and we'd disappear somewhere. So I got to be a little bit more thorough with that.
That's very cool. Harley Quinn is definitely a cool character.
Yeah, no, I love Harley Quinn.
I think the match with the Green Goblin's building, though, you keep stealing his pumpkins.
I think that would be pretty cool. But the thing is, if I choose one of my favorite villains, it's like, chances are, I'll probably get my butt kicked. But it could be a pretty good match. But if I choose one of the lesser, like, D-list villains, then I'll win.
Very cool. Think of a strategy, obviously.
I don't know. There's pretty one. I think Venom would be kind of cool to wrestle. He's so big. I could do a lot of cool flippy things off of him. And he could throw me around and use, like, the black tentacles. And we could do a bunch of cool spots from that. So I think, I'd probably go with Venom. That'd be pretty nifty. Not Symbiote Spider-Man, but Venom. Eddie Brock.
Nice. Now, listening to your promos while doing the research on you, you remind me a lot of Ronda Rousey. Is that someone that you'd look to for inspiration as far as a woman who's broke through in a man-dominated world and try to incorporate her stuff?
In all honesty, I don't follow MMA at all. Like, I keep...
Oh, what is wrong now?
Hello?
Laura, can you hear me?
I can hear you
Laura,
just fine. I can hear you fine. I think you're right. I think we did lose Brittany. You got still love. Blog Talk Radio, let me. There you are.
Okay, I'm back. Oh, man, I went on a tirade. I totally don't remember what I was saying.
It's okay.
Remember when you lost me.
I think you mentioned you don't follow MMA, and it was a Ronda Rousey question.
I think she's an amazing athlete, and I definitely think it's awesome the trails that she's blazed in MMA. I've read about it on Facebook and things like that, but I just don't really follow her. I don't just follow MMA. It doesn't really pique my fancy too much. But once she steps foot in the pro wrestling world, I'll be all over it.
See, to me, and this is what I was going back to what I was talking about earlier with the women's wrestling thing. To me, if I was a promoter, I would look at that and go, this is the biggest draw in MMA right now is Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
And she's rose up higher, you know, higher than Randy before all those guys. Why aren't we promoting a woman to be a big draw in our sport, which is basically the same demographic? The same people are mostly the people that watch MMA watch wrestling.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like most companies follow what WWE does, and most people are afraid to step out of that shadow. It, like, everybody wants to be the next WWE. Nobody wants to be the next them. And I work for a company called Action Coast Empire, which is comprised of like three different companies, and like their women's division is like their focus. Like, their focus is the women's division. Like, their ideal is that women are wrestlers, not divas, not pretty, not... Well, I mean, they're pretty, but they're, like, beautiful, deadly things, and they will kick your butt if you step over a line. And I really like what Ace is doing with their women's division. We're actually going to be on TV sometime this month, I believe. We're supposed to be submitting our episodes, if not this month, next month. Same with Head Slam. Like, I actually had a title shot for the championship there, the Golden Gig. It was me and a banana versus Dark Sheik and Juice Lee. I chose the banana because he was the only other original Head Slammer that didn't have a title shot.
So it was a bad choice in the long run because I didn't win. But, like, I did win the battle royal, and I did get to choose my part. It was a big thing that I got a shot. I was the only female to ever have a shot at the Golden Gig. So that was a pretty phenomenal idea, or phenomenal thing, considering the gig at Hood Slam is the only championship. There's no tag belt. There's no light heavyweight. There's no women's belt. There's the gig, and that's it. They're just going to try to follow WWE. Nobody's going to do something different. Somebody just needs to set that model, and that's what a lot of women wrestlers are trying to do. It's just to be like, we're professional wrestlers. We're wrestlers. Like, our gender just happens to be that we're female. If you're good, you're good. If you're bad, you're bad. It has absolutely nothing to do with your gender. And I feel like a lot of chicks get a pass because of that. It's you're a woman, so that's as much as you. Because, like, it's insulting. If you tell me I have a good match for a girl, like, I will give you a look of death. I hate it. So, like, it's one of those things. It's like, you respect me with the same respect that I give you. Like, I don't tell you that's a good match for it was a good match for a boy. Like, no, it was a good match, or it was a bad match, or it was an okay match. It was a good match for said gender. So, like, it's a new age ideal that's slowly starting to get more popular, but just so many companies try to emulate the big name companies, and that's where they're screwing themselves up. They just need to be them and try to be a new film, not the next WWE, not the next TNA, not the next, you know, CMLL or AAA or whatever company. Like, you want to be the next.
You know, speaking of companies trying to emulate WWE, we talk about TNA a lot on the show, and, you know, they were so not WWE at first, and now they've just, you know, it just kind of turned into, you know, WWE. Maybe, you know, they could take some advice from you and just, you know, be them and not try to be WWE.
Maybe. We actually, a while ago at Hood Slam, before Spike TV announced that they were pulling TNA's contract, we actually had the Dixie Carter Memorial Tournament at Hood Slam. So I just want to say on the air that we called it in advance. But,
absolutely.
Dixie Carter. People thought Dixie Carter was actually dead. Like, it reached Dixie Carter, and she had to say that she was not dead.
Can you really take credit for calling her death, though?
No other shows had a memorial tournament. I'm just saying. No other company had a Dixie Carter memorial tournament. It was a battle tournament.
Was that Hood Slam?
Yep. We had a trophy and everything. James C. won.
Very cool.
We called it.
Well, the writing sit on the wall for a while. If they didn't have the pocketbooks they had, it wouldn't
last
as long as it has.
I wish just somebody would invest a little bit of money in an indie company. Because, okay, you imagine how much money TNA is just hemorrhaging. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if you were to give, like, $2,000 to this local company over in, you know, nowhere? Do you know how much that would do? Like, there's so many, like, big-name investors that are so, again, back to being you and not being the next WWE, there's so many big-name investors that are so willing to throw money at a product that doesn't need it that, like, the little guys that are phenomenal workers or whatnot and just don't have the pocketbooks can't get seen because they don't have that kind of backing.
That's a very, very valid point.
And, you know, there's not enough forward-thinking people that think, you know, I don't want to make – they think I want to make the next WWE. They don't think that WWE, the reason that it's successful is because it changed the game, it changed the rules. You gotta
exactly. WWE is the first WWE. WWE got so big because they bought up all the independent territories that's around them, which they're doing right now. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but guess who's getting picked off? Big indie name, big mm-hmm. indie name, big indie name, big indie name, big indie name, big indie name. Like, they're just, like, shoot, Jake Younger was down here with us, and now he's one of the referees on NXT. Jody Christopherson, same thing. Bailey, same thing. Like, we're seeing all of the, Brian Tannen, one of the guys that I graduated wrestling school, is a Rosebud. I'm seeing all of these indie guys just getting picked, all the big guys, like, Devitt's gone, they picked up Kenta recently, who else? They picked up a lot of, like, really good guys. Generico's there. But, like, they're just picking up all the really, really good big-name indie guys and all the big fuel. So it's, like, the new guys have to step up in those places. And then, like, yeah, everybody's so worried about getting to NXT. Nobody's, like, super focused on, like, actually honing their craft to want to go up to the next level. So, I don't know. It's kind of cool. But, yeah, WWE is definitely rewriting history and just picking up all the indie guys. Like, they're definitely doing a territory sweep just like they did back in the day. Because indie wrestling's on such a rise.
You know, I never thought of it that way. I never likened it to what they did back in the day where they gobbled up, whole territories at a time. I never thought about that, but that is an excellent point. You're exactly right, especially with, Kevin Steen, signing him. That's a pretty big thing.
Yeah, I told you, all the big name indie guys. Anybody that's been, like, super big within the last, like, 5 years or so, gone. Because, like, they did do the model thing, and they hired so many models and hired so many people that just don't, a lot of, like, football players and things like that aren't pro wrestlers. And, like, they got such a high saturation of models and people that aren't pro wrestlers that their product was just going to hell. Like, nobody's watched WWE for a while. Everybody's like, meh. You know what I mean? Nobody watched SmackDown. Nobody watched. Like, we would occasionally watch Raw, occasionally check out the pay-per-view, but nobody really bought it. If anybody did, one person bought it, and everybody chipped in, like, $5. You know what I mean? So, they needed to revitalize the product, so they just they did the old-school method and just indie sweep. They just picked up so many good guys that obviously wrestling them, even if they don't keep the indie guys, guess what? All of their guys just learned a shit ton from these dudes that maybe will only be around for 6 months because they don't know what to do with them character-wise.
And that's that's what they did with Chris Hero.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Chris Hero,
yep.
Brought them in there, and then dumped them because they had no idea how to use Chris Hero. And it baffles me. Just let him be Chris Hero.
But they don't want that. I don't know. It's a creative. They want to own the creative character, and Chris Hero probably owns Chris Hero. So they're not going to let Chris Hero be Chris Hero. Like, why do you think Daniel Bryan is not Bryan Danielson?
The whole thing to me is just silly. I just think you should let and it even goes to guys on their roster like Zack Ryder. If somebody gets over doing something, let them continue to do that because obviously it's over. Don't try and change it and homogenize them because then you destroy everything they built.
Yeah, well, they haven't really right now. If you look, Dean Ambrose is Jon Moxley. Like, he's his old gimmick. Like, there's a lot of guys that, freaking Daniel Bryan, he just changed his name. CM Punk just changed. There's a lot of guys. Generico. They took the mask off of him, but he still held Generico. There's a lot of guys, but they didn't really do too much of an overhaul. They just slightly changed the name so they could own the copyright to said character.
And speaking of a company that does things a little differently, I personally think you would be a great fit in Chikara. Have you ever thought about competing there someday?
If they would like to book me, yeah, I would love to work for Chikara. It's really a matter of just who wants Brittany Wonder to wrestle for them, because I like to wrestle everywhere. I have no problem traveling. Like, I love meeting new people. I love going to new places. It's really just a matter of what booker wants me to wrestle for their show and what fans want to see me in their town, their state, their city, their, I don't know, den.
We need to get you here on the East Coast a little more, maybe PWX. If you're listening, Brian.
Like, hey, hint, hint, poke, poke.
Yeah, hint, hint, that's, yeah.
Brittany, I think I probably got the oddest of all the questions we have on here, and it came from my mind, and so it's my fault that it's an odd question. Watching you and looking at you, I just wanted to know, has anyone ever told you you look like Brittany Murphy from Clueless?
No, I've never gotten that ever.
For some reason, just watching your videos, and it's all in the hair and your face. It's all the way, just one of the looks that you do sometimes just remind, and I'll tell you the story because I told Laura this off the air. The reason I mentioned this, back when Clueless was popular, I dated a girl that kind of looked like Alicia Silverstone, so I watched the movie a lot because, you know, she was kind of vain and thought it looked like, everybody told her it looked like her, so we watched the movie a lot. So that movie kind of got ingrained in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And just something about the way some of the facial expressions you made just reminded me of her in that movie. I just wanted to know if anybody else other than me was weird and had that stuck in their brain and pointed it out to you.
No, the only celebrity I've ever been compared to is Michelle Rodriguez. That's it. And I think that was more of the attitude, like the badassery. So, I never, no, never. Tank girl, or Teddy, but not really so much in looks. It's also a personality thing, too. So.
Well, George, you've, that certainly was an interesting question. And I actually expected you to say, yeah, I get that all the time.
No. No, never. Never, ever, ever. I don't think you're that Californian. Like, I know I'm Californian, but I'm not the Valley Girl kind. I'm NorCal, not SoCal.
Well, it's nothing to do with your personality. It's just there are certain faces she makes and it's certain faces you make when you're selling certain moves or you're about to do a certain move that kind of stick together. Like I said, it's from watching the movie a bunch of times, so.
No, really, my trainer actually told me, one of my trainers actually, well, actually all of my trainers are always like, facial expressions. He's like, you know, only the first couple rows are going to hear what you actually say, even if you're yelling at the top of your lungs. He was like, facial expressions travel. He was like, even if somebody's in the tip, 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 back, they can see your face. They can't hear what you're saying. They can't see the little things you're doing, but they can see that. So it kind of was always ingrained in my mind. So, like, I just make the most ridiculous facial expressions now, like, naturally. I even do it outside of the ring. Like, I have a very animated face. Most people can tell what I'm thinking, like, off the bat. And sometimes that's not a good thing.
I bet.
Yeah. I have a very distinct, like, WTF look. And, like, sometimes it happens and it's not intentional. Like, but you can definitely tell what I'm thinking.
Well, Brittany, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us tonight, and it's been a pleasure, an absolute pleasure having you on tonight. And I was wanting to get your social media information out there. So if someone wanted to book you for a show, where would they go to do that?
Most of the time I do most of my communication through Facebook, so you can just find me at Brittany Wonder. That's me. That's my actual Facebook. I don't think there's any duplicates out there. So, yeah, that's my Facebook. At Twitter, at Brittany Wonder on Twitter. You guys have it. You've been tweeting me all night, thankfully. And then, Brittany period Wonder at gmail.com if you want to get a hold of me the old school way. That's about how you get a hold of me. I have Instagram, but you can't really book me through Instagram. That wouldn't work very well.
Well, we will get that information up on our website tonight, a little later tonight, maybe in the morning, because Bob is the one that does that, and Bob is actually off trying to find John Cena. So.
Well,
he's on business, but it's a joke.
So good luck to him. Do you mind if I plug the Hood Slam website and the Action Coast website?
No, go ahead.
Okay, you can check out Hood Slam at birdswillfall.com. Or you can find us on any kind of social media. Smart Mark Video, we have full iPay-per-views for $10, which is the price of admission. And you get to watch it from your couch. You just don't get the super awesome Hood Slam experience because you weren't there. We're every first Friday at the Oakland Metro in Oakland, California, and occasionally the third Friday. We're actually wrestling in San Francisco for the first time, I think this coming third Friday. So that'll be really cool. It's AJ Kirsch's birthday. And let's see, and then there's also it's going to be a blast. And then there's also Action Coast Empire here in Sacramento. It's like my home company, my hometown. You can catch us August 30th at 3 p.m. at the Collings Teen Center in West Sacramento, California. It's going to be a blast. I get to take on Ruby Reyes from SoCal, and I love wrestling her. She's mean, and she likes to fight, but I like to fight, too. I'm a lot tougher than I look. Kind of like a Jigglypuff. But, yeah, so those shows are coming up. Super excited.
Love it.
But, and then you can find us at ActionCST Empire on Twitter, and then you can find us on Facebook at Action Coast Empire. And then keep your eyes out, because we are actually going to be pursuing television out here in Sacramento, so you might be able to catch us on television, which will be awesome. And then after that, you'll catch full episodes on YouTube, after they've aired on TV.
Very cool.
Awesome. That is absolutely great news. We'll have to look out for that, maybe, you know, because I know that you can watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood on MAV TV. Maybe something like that will happen for that.
Maybe. That'd be really cool.
That would be awesome. I do want to ask you a favor. We get every guest to record a little bump so that we can use it later on and, you know, an intro or what have you. So if you wouldn't mind, record us a bump and say something. You can say whatever you want, but usually they just say, you know, this is Brittany Wonder and you're listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Radio Show. So whenever you want to go, you go ahead.
Okay, just right now?
Go ahead.
Okay. This is your resident superheroine, Ultra Girl Brittany Wonder, and you're listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Radio Show.
That
awesome,
awesome,
Brittany.
That was wonderful.
Trust me, it took Cliff Compton like 6 tries. He never did get
Cliff
it right.
Okay.
So you did absolutely awesome, and thank you so much for appearing tonight. We really appreciate it. And, George, if you have anything you want to say?
Just thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for being such a great guest.
Oh, no problem. Thank you guys for having me.
We'll have to have you back on soon.
All right. Bye, guys.
See you later,
Brittany.
And there she goes, up, up, and away. What a cool chick. I mean, seriously. I mean, I guess she and I could be BFF, seriously.
Are you replacing your other BFF?
No, I have many BFFs, George. I could never replace any of them.
See, there's only one. That's why it's the best. You have to pick one to be the BFF.
I can't pick. I have too many BFFs. I have so many. So many people are just, you know, near and dear to my heart.
That's kind of cheating, though.
No.
If you go to do a test and it's multiple choice and you pick A, B, C, and D, of course you're going to get it right because you picked all four. I think we need to nail you down and get your one true BFF.
No, you're not going to play the one true BFF card on me, George. Not on the air. You are not.
The one BFF to rule them all.
And this is not, you know, my precious here. So, no, not happening. Not on live radio. Not happening. Oh, it's been a great show, and I actually think we're going to finish on time. It's really unusual for me and George, because we usually go all two hours, 3 hours.
See, I'm the king of the Broadways. It only took me three shows to conform to the format of the show.
Well, you know, it's always a good time when you're on, and I do appreciate you co-hosting with me when Bob's not around, and we make a good team. Bob and I make a good team, too. Don't be wrong, but George and I make a good team as well, and I wanted to announce who our guests are for next week, and I believe we're probably going to have, I guess, three. Bob's not texted me the secret guest yet, but next week our guests are going to be Joshua Cutshaw and Mary Elizabeth Monroe. Finally, he got in touch with her.
Are you sure that's not the surprise? The way he was building it, I think that may be a surprise. She must have finally followed him.
Well, maybe, but, I mean, this was on the show log that he emailed me, so I don't know. I mean, if it was a surprise, I don't think he would have put it in the log, you know what I mean?
I hear you. Maybe we'll find out next week. Maybe it'll be
The
Midnight Rider.
He'd never had the rules.
Well, it's not us. The Midnight Rider. Different person altogether.
We all know that Dusty Rhodes is a midnight rider. That's a really bad Dusty impersonation, folks.
actually, it was very good. It was good. I thought you did well.
Well, I appreciate that, George. You are absolutely, absolutely too kind.
For a girl that has dance in her mouth. Yep, see, I
for a girl that what?
Has banjos in her mouth. You did a good Dusty.
I appreciate that. We've got about 2 minutes left, and I'm really surprised that Mr. Sleeves didn't call in tonight. Maybe he's, off working, or maybe he's devising a plan to overthrow Joey Ryan as the King of Sleeves. I don't know.
I feel a little bit hurt because I feel like maybe he doesn't want to talk to me.
Maybe that's it, George.
That's the hashtag to end the show. Hashtag we miss Sleeves.
Hashtag we love Sleeves.
I mean, we could hashtag that too. We missed Sleeves and we love Sleeves. It doesn't feel the same without him.
Do that on the Heel Heat because I'm talking on my cell phone because my other phone it just doesn't want to work. But we are about to get cut off here from the live feed. So next week our guests are Joshua Cutshaw and Mary Elizabeth Monroe. Please tune in, and we want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight and always listening to us. The listeners is what makes this show possible. And I just want to say thanks to everybody for listening and tuning in. And, George, what are your parting words?
Just thank you again for bringing me on. Thanks to Brittany Wonder for being such a great guest. And thanks to Bob for letting me step into his shoes again.
Wonderful. Thanks again, George, for co-hosting with me. And remember, there's never a bad seat at the Armory. We'll see you next week, folks.
been listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Radio Show. Listen to us on blogtalkradio.com every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at From the Armory. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/live.armory.9. If you like what you hear, please take a few moments to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Thank you for listening. See you next week.